And we're ready to go.
Cool.
Hey, Carly, first question for you today is, how did you get into playing volleyball?
Okay. So I've come from a family of athletes, and we all were involved in track and field and basketball. And I mean, I tried dance and things like that when I was young, but my sister and my brother got into volleyball in middle school. My mom was a PE teacher and also a volleyball coach. So my sister and my brother both played for her and my uncle at the middle school. And I was 3 years behind my brother. So I would go and watch them play and be in the gym, and kind of hinted at my uncle that I wanted to try too. So we started touching the ball when I was in sixth grade, maybe a little bit before I started sixth grade. And then I tried out for the sixth grade team at the middle school. So that was my first experience at I'm from a small town in Southern California. So it was at Sullivan Middle School. It was my very first team. And my coaches were my mom and my uncle, which is pretty cool.
So you were kind of forced into the family team, huh?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Now, obviously you've excelled at levels that earned you the ABCA All-American Player of the Year in 2010, and eventually to the United States Women's National Team. Being such a well-seasoned competitor for the women's national team, you know, you've had your career, and you've got a bronze medal at the Rio Olympics. But what were some of your favorite moments and some of your favorite people during this time?
Gosh, really, when I think back to all of the years, I feel so honored to have played with some very specific players, and they were my idols when I first got into the gym. One of them is Courtney Thompson. She, I kind of watched her as she was at UW, and just really appreciated her passion for the game and the way she could lead a team and all those things. And so when I got into the gym and was able to train next to her, I was able to really feel what she was offering the rest of the girls in the gym. And I really just kind of, she took me under her wing and showed me the ropes a little bit. And we built a really cool friendship throughout those years that we were training together. Also under Krista Dietzen, Krista Hermato back then, and then now she's Krista Dietzen. She was our captain leading up to the Rio Olympics, and she's an incredible teammate, such a good role model. We called her mom. She would take care of everyone both on and off the court. So those two, we have great friendships now, and I really look up to them. And but I mean, I met my best friend, Lauren Gibmeyer, my first day of training, the tryouts. I've had so many great relationships from that gym, and too many to name, but those, yeah. And, I still am really close to Tom Black. He was our coach, leading up to Rio as well. He's my setting coach, and I'm actually going to do a call with him later. He's great and still a big part of my life. And there's a lot of others, but those are some of the people. And one of the coolest, I mean, I talk about the Olympics a lot in Rio and that experience, but one of the coolest tournaments I went to was the Pan Am Games in Toronto, 2015. And we were led by Kristen Hildebrand then. She was our captain. And the group of girls we had was incredible. That experience in Toronto, the games they put on, it was such an all-inclusive, you felt like really welcomed and taken care of, and it was beautiful. And that tournament sticks out to me. We ended up winning that tournament, so there was a great success at it as well, but it was just a really awesome feeling, and we still talk about it. When I talk to Kristen, we talk about that tournament a lot. And that was a really cool summer. That 2015 summer was really cool too. So yeah, those are some moments.
Well, it's amazing. Just hearing the names that have been mentioned that have been some of your favorite and people. I mean, obviously Tom Black is now at University of Georgia and coaching the Canadian women's national team. But, you know, another great person, Krista Dietzen, Kristen Hermato, or former Kristen Hermato, who's pregnant, from what I understand.
Yeah, she is.
And Courtney Thompson, which, you know, it's interesting because when you're competing at such a high level, you were at the same position. And I always wondered what kind of dynamic that creates, especially within friendships, in the gym, especially since you're both vying for a spot on a roster for the Olympics. But what was that relationship like? Because you mentioned that she's probably one of your favorite, most inspirational people as well.
Oh my gosh, yeah. You know, it wasn't always easy. We had moments where it was really hard to be in the gym. One of us would make a roster, the other wouldn't. And we had to find a way to learn how to support each other in that and also push ourselves and push each other. And I think our relationship really took off the summer leading up to the Olympics, the 2016 summer. And since then, we've gotten even closer. But in an environment like that, you have to be really clear about like what your intention is in being there. Like, what are we there for and what can we provide? So when I would ask myself that, if I was pushing Courtney to be her best, then it was going to make me be better too. And we kind of had that with each other. Like, if I'm going to push you and I'm going to hold you accountable and you do the same for me. And as we did that over the years, we were both able to improve both technically on the court and then as leaders on and off the court. And just, yeah, I mean, we talked about everything throughout those years. And like you said, it is hard, especially when you're in the same position and you're fighting for the same spot on a roster, but there's a way to make it, it's even more like meaningful now looking back on that whole experience.
Did I lose you?
We were able to, yeah, it's really cool.
Wow. I think, you know, that was such a great dynamic with that team. I mean, obviously, the during that Olympics, she ended up being listed as a Libro, I believe, for 2016.
Yeah.
So she came in.
She was our DS.
That's right.
Our serving specialist. We joked about that a little bit. But yeah, she was our rock as a leader. I mean, her and Krista, man, they were incredible. And that role, I think, was hard for Courtney for a little bit, but we talked about it. And I needed her too to help me take, you know, to step into the role of the dub sub and be able to provide the best way that I could for the team. And Courtney was amazing at that. And she helped me a lot. And she taught me different things and how to embrace it and the mindset to have around it. And so many stories with her, and she's something else, man. I really love her.
Well, you know, just from my observations and of being kind of an insider, but an outsider, she is such a infectious personality, and she draws people to her. Because of her charisma and her countenance. So it doesn't surprise me that you were both able to navigate your relationship, even though you're competing for the same position. Team just seems really tight, at least from an outsider perspective. And I know that there's hard things that has to happen, choices that have to be made. And, you know, you're basically you're there to support USA, and you want the best at that given time, because we know there isn't a lack of talent in the USA gym. So, that'd be hard.
It's very deep. I think it's amazing the amount of talent we have in this country.
Yeah. Well, you know, next question I have for you is, you know, I had seen you, let's see, against in World League in 2000, actually in June, but I know that there have been some a change in your status with the USA Women's National Team. And I wanted to ask you what your current status is and why you made the decision you've made.
Yeah, so last summer, I made a choice to step away from that path. And I had been training and competing with that team for almost 10 years. I was into my 10th year. So I felt like I was no longer in alignment with the program and just the direction it was headed. So I checked in with myself and I decided to make that choice. And it was really hard. I had to do it for myself. And there's a lot of, everyone's has the right to their own perspective and their own opinion on the matter. Some people have asked me, were you cut? You know, why did you quit? And I was not cut. And I don't feel that I quit, but some people see it that way, and that's okay. But I did walk away from it. And I was not imagining my path to look like this, but this is where I am now. And yeah.
Well, you know, so I mentioned that I got to speak with you in June of 2019 for World League, and because of, you know, the FIVB stream, I had the opportunity to interview you, and I felt like it's such a special moment for me because I knew you and I felt comfortable talking with you, and you had just had an incredible performance. I believe it was against Korea in that match. I did the post-match interview with you, but you know, it's just seeing the highlights from the video from that play, and you are definitely dialed into the team. So, you know, it's such a great performance to witness. And if it's the last one in the USA uniform, I was excited to see that. And I'd love to see that the replay on Flow Volleyball, because I know it's still out there. let me ask you this. Since that VNL, I believe that was in Lincoln, Nebraska, and that was weeks 3 through 5 that you're on that USA roster, what has happened since then for you?
So, yeah, I finished, my last stop was in Russia. From that point, I came back home, I spent some time with my family, and then I was able to travel with my boyfriend and go to a few AVP stops all over the nation. He plays in the AVP, so I got to see some new cities and experience a little bit of the beach culture and life a little more. And then I left for my pro season earlier than I ever have because I wasn't with the national team any longer and didn't have any competitions. And so I was with my team in September and started training earlier than I ever have.
Mm-hmm. Now, just because you'd mentioned it, you know, this is a second take on this question, but that is Riley McKibben. Correct?
Yes. Yes, it's Riley.
He's the best at Zoom bombs I've discovered, and he's a big video star. So, but awesome social media presence. He's such a great player himself. I mean, both indoor and on the beach. So you landed yourself on a powerhouse volleyball club in Turkey, Eczacıbaşı, during this last season, and your team did well in the FIVB Club Championships, losing in the gold medal match to Imoco Volley. Corneliano, is that, am I saying that correctly?
Imoco Volley Corneliano.
Yeah. Yeah, terrible Italian for me. Okay. And in the Turkish League, you finished the shortened season with a final record of 20-2 behind Vakifbank, and your team had a pretty loaded roster. And even with the injuries, you still managed to be on top. Can you talk a little bit about the Eczacıbaşı team and how it was like to be surrounded by such a star-studded lineup?
Yeah. I absolutely loved my experience with Eczacıbaşı, a super professional club, situated a little bit outside of the main part of Istanbul. So we're in a little town called Göktürk, and just their professionalism and their ability to, the way that they run their club is amazing. I felt really welcome there. I loved my experience and the players. And so as we're talking about our roster, we ended up having 6 foreigners on that roster, and Sonia Newcomb joined us late, but the initial 5 were Yeon Young Kim from Korea. We had Natalia Zilo from Brazil, Lauren Gibmeyer from the States, obviously myself, and Tiana Boskovic from Serbia. So we had an amazing group of foreigners, and it was a dream of mine to play with Yeon Young for since 2012, since watching her in the Olympics. I talked to my family about it, and like, it'd be so cool to set her. And so that was kind of a dream come true for me. She's a comic relief. She's so funny, such a good player. Oh my gosh. And then Natalia, I had played against her quite a few times. The most recent was in Brazil, when I played in Praia the season before. She had played in Minas, and Minas beat us in every single championship match. So we finished 2nd in the Brazil Cup, in the South American Cup, and in the finals of Brazil, the league, and she was their star player. So I had definitely played against Nachi a lot and admired her. She's a powerhouse of a player and such a good teammate and such a humble competitor. She's amazing. So it was really cool to be able to play with her. And so we had a great group, and the one challenge though with this team was we had the Turkish league rule is you can only have 3 foreigners on the court at a time. And so, and only four on the roster. So one of us had to be in the stands watching every match. And so finding the rhythm of having all of us on the court was, it really like didn't happen because we had so many injuries and then we weren't able to play in the Turkish League matches together and Champions League got cut short. So there was just not a lot of opportunity for us to really find our rhythm. It would have, we talked about it. We feel like we had totally had unfinished business this season. We were finally getting the girls back healthy and training at a higher level. And then COVID hit. So, I mean, it was an amazing season, such a cool experience. I thoroughly enjoyed it. But yeah, I left the team on such short notice. I didn't really even get to say goodbye. So it was tough.
You know, just from your social posts and even because I follow Natalia and mm-hmm. yeah, just seeing the dynamic of all these international players getting along and having a great time and
yeah.
Is such a great thing to see from a fan perspective. And I wish that we in the States could see it more consistently. If it weren't for your social feeds, we'd know absolutely nothing about these international players.
Mm-hmm.
Now, moving forward to the 2020-21 season, do you have any plans of playing anywhere? Do you know your plans of where you'd be playing?
My hope is that I end up in Italy somewhere. For a little bit, I was talking to my club, Exazabashi. We were hoping that would work out. It doesn't look like it will be. So I am talking to some teams in Italy and hoping that one of those contracts pulls through. It's really tough right now for a lot of club teams and players to figure out how things are going to look this season, just after this situation with COVID and with sponsorships and things like that. It's been really tough. It's hit our volleyball world pretty hard. So, but I hope it will be somewhere in Italy.
Yeah. Well, the good news is, you know, with recent news, I think, but in California, they said Governor Newsom has okayed the start of professional sports June 1st. And
right.
It sounds like some of the leagues are really beginning to ramp up again or start up again mm-hmm. in Europe. Right. So, I mean, positive yeah. signs and hoping and praying that everything works out and that we're safe yeah. in doing it. So,
I hope so too.
Now, in our chat last week, obviously what caught my ear is that you'd mentioned that you were potentially going to be playing some beach volleyball this summer, which would be, I mean, I'm not going to lie, it would have been pretty cool to see that, but watching you play and with the skill set you have, how did you come about making that decision to do that or entertain that?
Well, yeah, when we were talking, I was just saying, originally my plan after this last season was to come back and maybe train on the beach, at least cross train, see how I felt, stay in shape, and then go to my next professional team. And this isn't like a brand new idea. It's something that I've thought about off and on a lot over the last 20 years of playing volleyball. When I was 15, I actually went to an AVP event in San Diego with my best friend, Julianne Fawcett, and her mom. Mm-hmm. And we got pictures with Carrie and Misty, and I have them on my wall in my room still. They signed something for me, and I have the ticket on there. And it was at that tournament that Julianne and I were talking, like, how cool would it be if we could be, you know, partners and play on the AVP and represent this United States? And, like, we just started dreaming. So we've talked about it off and on for years, 15 years now. And this summer I was thinking it could be a cool, like, she just had a baby, Julianne just had a baby, but we just talked the other week about it. Like, it would be cool just to train and see, you know, if we have fun on the beach and if our bodies feel good. And I'm obviously still playing overseas mm-hmm. and playing indoor, but it would be a cool transition or even an off training environment just to be on the beach. I think the beach game is so hard. I mean, so tough with all the elements but it's all inclusive. You have to be able to do everything. You feel a pass, you have to be able to set, to serve, receive, to serve, to hit, to do all, to block maybe. And it sounds like a great challenge. So when I play for fun, I love it. And so I think it would just be a cool challenge to try it.
Well, the good thing with your transition is as a setter, you touch pretty much every ball, which
right.
you're going to be doing the same in beach.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
So you're used to that pressure of having to get a contact on the ball, a quality contact.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. But setting on the beach is a little different. There's way more deep dishing going on, and you touch the ball a little bit longer, and I don't know. It could be challenging to make that transition, but it would be cool.
Well, you'd have a built-in coach for the most part. Riley was just an okay setter, and he does do okay on the beach. So you'd have a pretty decent coach in your corner.
Yeah, we'd see how that dynamic would go, but it would be fun to see.
So when the current pandemic hit, whereabouts were you, and what was your initial response to what was happening in the world?
Yeah, so like I said, I was in Turkey when this all started, and we were actually just starting playoffs. So we were about to start our first playoff match. 2 days, and 2 days before that match, we got the notice that we were to postpone training. So we were all at home. We got the text from our manager. And then things just went really fast. It was because up until that point, other countries like Italy, the German league, those leagues had either been postponed, canceled, girls were going home, and we were still training and playing. And Turkey had closed their borders early on, so they felt like they were kind of safe from everything that was going on. And so we had continued to play. And our message came right before playoffs started. And then I think 3 days after that, I was on a flight home. And it was when the travel advisory hit in the States that they were maybe going to close their borders, not have international flights coming in or out. And I didn't want to risk not being here for a really long time. And it was sounding like we didn't know how long that would be. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I came home. But yeah, that's why I'd said I left without saying goodbye. I had to send my team a message through WhatsApp and say, you know, guys, this is what I have to do. And they were super supportive. The club was great, and they helped me get out. But it was the weirdest, toughest, one of the toughest goodbyes I've ever had to go through, because I couldn't even.
It was so abrupt.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, interesting. I actually was talking to David Smith on the men's national team a few days ago, and he said that all the owners of the Polish teams had to agree to let players go, and there's one holdout coach. So they were actually told to stay longer than they probably had to, whereas it's good to hear that you're, at least in the Turkish league, they're like, you know what, be safe, get out of here.
Yeah, they were great.
So being that we've been on this unexpected pause or break, how are you maintaining your training during quarantine?
Yeah.
Relaxing? That's an answer too.
No, I'd say it's a mixture. I'm not training really, really hard right now. I am trying to give my body a little bit of a break, but I'm really fortunate. I'm at home quarantining with my parents in the house that I grew up in. And we have a home gym here where I trained all throughout my childhood and until I left for college. So I've been able to lift normal, like, gym equipment. We have everything that you could probably imagine having. I have Riley here with me, so we're peppering and touching the ball a few times a week just to keep that touch going on. I've been doing some yoga. I do that off and on. I love it. Working on some handstand and arm stands and trying to get to a handstand. I just have been challenging myself a little bit. It's been fun. I haven't played volleyball, but I've been staying active and also helping my uncle a ton on our property, you know, trimming trees and doing all kinds of crazy things. So I am definitely staying active, and it's been really good.
Well, I mean, the reason why I asked is because for the most part, all the athletes I've been talking to, they, when I see them for the first time in a long time, they look extremely relaxed, like they're refreshed almost.
Yeah.
Would you say you're same?
Totally. 100%. I just was talking to a team the other day. They were asking, what are you grateful for? And this time is what I'm grateful for. It's been amazing to just be able to be home with my family and not have an obligation or something that I need to go be doing right now. I haven't had this time in 10 years. So it's been really, really refreshing. And also at times challenging because the side of my brain that's like, hey, you need to be doing something. You need to get up. You should have a schedule. You should be accomplishing, check marking boxes and doing things. But then I keep telling myself, you don't know, it's okay. Like you can take the time and relax and do whatever you want. And so it's still a battle, but I do feel very refreshed.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take our break right there. I'm with the 2016 at Rio Olympics bronze medalist Carly Lloyd, and we'll be back in just a moment. Hello, everyone. Rob Espero here, and I'm back with Carly Lloyd, the 2016 Rio Olympics bronze medalist, who's joining me here on the Viral Volley podcast. Thanks for hanging out with me today, Carly.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure.
Hey, you've got a new, I don't want to call it a venture, a new resource, for lack of a better term, that you've started here in recent months. Mm-hmm. And it's called the Show Up With Me, which is basically your website. It's showupwithme.com. Mm-hmm. But what was your inspiration for creating this website?
So basically what it came down to was I wanted a place to write more and I wanted a place to share more. And I wanted a space to be able to connect with people. That was kind of my space where I felt comfortable, but also was open to anyone that wanted to show up with me in it. And so I didn't know that it would look the way that it does, but I'm really happy with it. And it evolved over a month and a half period of time recently.
Now, your site is different from a few other athlete sites in that its focus is not only training, but there are components that address what you call not enoughness and emotional mm-hmm. wellness and development. Your mm-hmm. site invites others into, I guess, an inner journey to self. Now, why did you decide to bring these components into what you're doing?
Gosh, well, you know, I feel like as athletes, we can get very single-minded and focused on just the athletic side of what we're doing. If we're a volleyball player, we feel like that's all that we are. And for a long time, I felt like I struggled with the other parts of myself. And so over the years, I mean, I've journaled a ton over the years, and I've had amazing conversations with other players. And I just realized that that space, that really secure space to share in about whatever's going on, whether it is self-doubt or a challenge you're facing, or, you know, a decision you have to, whatever it is, when you have a safe space to share in within, it is monumental. It helps so much to have either someone to talk to or just that space to be able to verbalize what's going on. And so I feel like I've had that space for certain people and in certain relationships, but I wanted to extend that space out and be able to offer a hand to others. And I've gotten over the years questions on Instagram and people reaching out, and I love those moments. And so I wanted to have a space where it's mine. Like, I've created this space, but it's for everyone or anyone that feels that it can help or serve them in some way. And so that's why that's kind of where it's come from. But that aspect of not enoughness, those, you know, moments of where I am mentioning, just show up with me, those kinds of things, they've evolved over the years. And a lot of it's written in my journals of these different topics that have helped me. So it's still evolving, but yeah, that's kind of where it's come from.
Well, it's a very, I mean, it's a wonderful site. And one of the things that I feel makes it stand out from others I've seen as a development resource, and mm-hmm. I do mean a very, very wide sense, because it touches on so many different topics that are both mm-hmm. physical, mental wellness, and well-being, mm-hmm. is the audio component to it. With the entries that you actually have your recorded voice reading the entry. So especially if you're into doing quiet times or meditations or meditative states, you can just hear your voice talking the journal entry. So mm-hmm. it gives an opportunity to focus a little more on the words and be more centered. So it's definitely unique, and it provides such great content.
I appreciate you saying that, because that component, I wasn't sure about it and I had never really seen it anywhere else. But it actually, a few of these ideas have come to me within some of my meditations that I do in the mornings. And I had this moment where I kind of saw it happening and it just felt really right. And I thought, there are times that I've listened to books, and the times that I connect the most with the book that I'm listening to is when I hear the author reading their own book. And mm-hmm. so I thought maybe that's something I can try to implement in the website by with my blogs, is just reading them, and hopefully the listener or the reader could feel that a little bit deeper. And I've gotten great feedback so far. And I really, this is challenging for me. These things are not easy, but I just keep feeling like this is the space that I'm meant to be in right now. And it is helping. And that's all I can ask for.
Well, so. It provides a deeper level of connectedness for, you know, different users or visitors to your site, because mm-hmm. there's different modalities of learning, and some are visual, some are audio, some are totally. You know, tactile. So it's another venture into allowing people to enjoy what you're doing or partake in what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd actually alluded to it in your response, but your site has personal blog entries that you've coined as more like journal entries, like a free mm-hmm. thought type thing, and reveal your life's journey. And they also reveal a very vulnerable and transparent side to your experiences and to you. Can you take mm-hmm. us through some of the topics that you discuss?
Yeah. So far with my blogs, I have 4 out right now, but the topics in there are things that I've journaled about. I have a journal that I write all kinds of things in. And so far with my website, the first journal entry that I talk about is it's called Showing Up. And that's basically what this site's about. And it's really just allowing the authentic version of yourself to come and be whatever it is and ask whatever it needs to ask, and to embrace it, to embrace your truth, to embrace whatever you're feeling, whatever you're going through. And just, that's what that entry is about. It's about my path to accepting that and actually doing it. Because for a long time, I don't think I was showing up in all of myself and really comfortable with every aspect of myself. So I think I've always kind of dabbled in it, but that journal entry talks about it happened in 2016. And from then I've really tried to embrace it more and more and to be really comfortable and confident and at ease in this space of all that I am, not just the volleyball part of who I am. And, yeah, I talk about love a lot, because that feeling place of love for me is huge. It's where I know that I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm a big time feeler. I'm a big time connector. And I truly believe that when we ask ourselves, you know, what would I do if I were doing it from a place of love? I think the answer for me a lot of times, it's so simple. I know which direction I should go if I'm answering in that space. And so I've learned to ask myself that more and more, and mm-hmm. to be really comfortable in that space, because it is the vulnerable space sometimes. But I think we have to push that edge to really be able to grow and evolve. And so I talk about finding answers in love. And recently, I think my recent one was when we ask ourselves why, and that question of why, and how it evolved for me as a volleyball player, but also in everything that I do now. When I truly look at it, I'm like, why did I just do that? Or even leading up to this call, like, why am I a little nervous? You know, I'm just talking about my experience and who I am and, you know, what I'm doing. Why should I be nervous? But there's always a reason. You know, I haven't talked about this very much yet, or, you know, I'm still learning about how to verbalize what I'm thinking and feeling. It's not always easy. So I just think that this, these topics, they're talked about by certain, and I have these people that, these books that I read, these people that I look at and I'm like, gosh, they're really doing it. Like, and so I'm trying to find that within myself. Can I push this comfort zone and really step into all that I can be able to be available for more people and offer my experience, and maybe it helps someone else. You know, I just feel like there's so much available to us, and I'm trying to stay open to all of these things and share these journal entries that have helped me a lot. And yeah.
That's a beautiful response. I was letting you ride with that one. So many questions are popping in, but I'm going to let it roll because cool. What you're saying is so perfect. Hey, as a successful athlete, as you are, it's easy to be viewed as a role model or someone to be looked up to, living a life that is with little or no personal challenges, at least can be viewed from an outside perspective. But mm-hmm. the reality of it is there are challenges, and mm-hmm. you vulnerably share your journeys and your challenges. On your site, it seems you want to help those who are struggling in their personal journeys, be it on the court or off the court, with an overarching theme or setting that it's okay to struggle. What has been your motivation to address and openly engage those who are searching to find themselves in their struggles?
Yeah. Well, I just think that alone, like a lot of people look at, you know, the level that I have played at or other athletes are playing at, and they think, gosh, they have it all. It's just so easy for them. It comes naturally, or their life's perfect, and it's just not true. I mean, I'm speaking from my personal experience. I have faced a ton of struggle, and it's not been easy all the time. But those moments of struggle, those low moments, are when you really find either meaning or you learn a lesson, or it helps you understand, you know, what you're capable of and allows you to push the boundaries again and go for something maybe a little bit greater. And so I find that when I talk about my injuries, when I talk about my moments of self-doubt, when I talk about the depression that I went through, I can connect with people, and they can understand, oh my gosh, so she went through that and she got to where she is. So maybe I can get out of this and get to where I want to be too. Mm-hmm. And those types of moments are crucial. I mean, we can all help each other in different ways. And I feel like in my experience, in my journey, I know that there have been people along the way that have shared their hardship with me and shown me that, hey, you're going to get through this too, but you have to make choices and you have to, you know, ask yourself the right questions and do the things that are going to put you, take baby steps forward. And so that's kind of where my motivation comes from. I know that it's helped me. Those tough conversations, those challenging moments have helped me get to where I am now. And so I'm trying to show our future generations that it can be that same thing for you. And it's really exciting. It wouldn't be, I mean, you can't ask for hardship, but when it shows up, it's for a reason. And I've learned that over and over and over again. So I like this space of vulnerability and be able to talk about it. It's refreshing and it's real. So,
well, as I was going through your site and from our discussions before leading to our recording here, I couldn't help but think of one of my favorite books is by J.R. Tolkien, The Lord of the Rings. But one of my favorite mm-hmm. quotes in there is, not all who wander are lost. It just made me think of the journey that you're inviting people to, because it's okay to wander, to seem like you're aimless, but in all essence, you're finding a path. So it's a process, and I feel like that's what your website does, your entries, and it's mm-hmm. refreshing to see someone who is willing to share the journey to help improve or help other people navigate life's, you know, celebrations, joys, struggles, and pains. So it's wonderful what you put together. I'm hoping that mm-hmm. more people will check it out and engage with you, because you're very articulate and you're very in touch with what your experience has been. And I think a lot of people can benefit from your experience and just get great support from you and the resources you have.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
So with that, I wanted to see what message of encouragement would you have for those having a tough time, especially right now in the current pandemic. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on that I wish I could say was very positive. You're seeing increased emotional struggles with people, and even the suicide mm-hmm. rate has been up. I just saw an article yesterday that Northern California is you know, the suicide rate has gotten to a point where it's getting near the fatality rate for COVID. But there's obviously a sense of hopelessness and despair. What would you tell people who are struggling with what's happening now?
Gosh, well, that's, I mean, this time has been, it is really hard. And I think what I continually think about is no one alive today has had to face a moment like this. This is our first for everyone being told to stay at home for such an extended period of time to protect each other from something that's invisible. And we don't know what, you know, we don't know a lot. We don't have answers for a lot of things. And so when we are in a moment of difficulty, when we do ask, there's not very much help out there. You can feel like that at least, because no one has an answer. No one knows, you know, when this is going to stop or what it's going to look like afterwards. Mm-hmm. But my suggestion is to talk about how you're feeling and find a support group, find someone to connect with and at least share, because first of all, you're not alone. Everyone is going through something right now, and we can get through this, but that saying we can get through this together is super relevant, because it's, you don't have to get through it alone. And you might feel like you're alone if something's going on with your business or your family, or you've lost someone. I mean, there's a lot of things that are really hard. It's hard to deal with, but I just believe in leaning on the people around you. And if you don't have someone around you, seek it, find someone to talk to. And we're going to get through this. This is temporary. And I am a firm believer that times like this are great lessons. They're great teachers for us if we just choose to look for it. And so I keep telling myself that this is great for our planet. And I know that there are great things happening for the air we're breathing and the animals and the plants. And there's so many stories about seeing animals where they haven't been for years and all of these things. I'm thinking that's already something positive. There's something positive happening. You may not feel like it's happening to you or for you right now, but it could be right around the corner. And we just have to stay patient. And there's always time for inner work, which is like, I've learned that throughout my life and the hard moments that I've been in, especially when I was in a really scary place and feeling alone and depressed and like I didn't know which way to go, and I was injured, I couldn't play volleyball, I felt like I didn't want to burden my family, I was trying to keep to myself, I was getting therapy, and I didn't know what to do during that time. But I learned, looking back, that what I was doing during that time, I was journaling, I was connecting to a deeper part of myself, and I was realizing that this isn't going to be easy, and I have to keep making choices, and I have to talk to myself in a different way. And my inner voice was so critical and so negative. And that awareness, it was like in that period that I realized I can be way more aware of myself, of my own thoughts, of my own processing. And since then, I haven't ever gotten back to that same place, but there are moments that I dip and I'm like, okay, you know, I need to look at this in a different way. Like, why is this happening? And what can I do? And what kind of it's about building a toolbox. I've read so many books and talked to so many people and gotten counseling and seen a psychologist and a psychiatrist and had a life coach and all of these things. But for me, I needed to do that. I needed to seek help so that I could understand myself better. And then maybe I can help someone else, you know, find the right person to talk to. Or it's been this huge journey. So this is a really long-winded answer for this amazing question. I mean, there's not just one thing out there for everyone. I feel like everyone is so unique that it's worth finding what works for you. And sometimes it's trial and error, and you can feel like you can try something and it doesn't work, but keep trying, keep looking and finding. And at the end of the day, when you find the feeling place of love or of goodness or of happiness, or those are your like little nicks, like follow that. That's where you want to be. That's where you want to find that more. And the more we do that, I think the better you'll feel. And then the better your path will be. But it's challenging at first. So I feel for a lot of people right now, and I think I'm fortunate to have gone through a really tough time before this hit, so that I'm not, you know, I don't sit in a lot of fear about what if I don't have a contract. You know, I think about that, but I'm like, okay, it's going to be okay. And I have all these questions like, well, I don't know what I would do. You know, what if I don't have a source of income for the next year? Or what if I, but then I'm back to, okay, like I can get through this, you know, I'll find a way. And I just trust that, I trust in myself. I trust in my, the thing, the toolbox that I have, the people around me, like the, I just have built a space where I'm going to be okay. And I'll get, we'll all get through it. That was a really long answer. Sorry about that.
It's a great answer.
All over the place.
That's a great answer. I wanted to give you an opportunity to recognize any sponsors, backers, coaches, friends, and family on your journey. And who are some of those people that you, I'm sure it's a lot, but you know,
yeah.
Roll with it.
Gosh. Okay. Well, the first people that come to my mind are just my mom and my uncle. And this, especially during this time period where I'm so fortunate to have this home to come back to and for them to allow me to be here. And I just feel so grateful for those two. And also without them, this volleyball journey wouldn't have happened. And they know that. And a lot of people know that, but they're just like, I'm really, really fortunate. I hit the freaking parent jackpot and they're amazing. So I'm really grateful for them. I don't know. There's so many people that are just amazing. I do feel like there's, I don't even know, Rob. It makes me.
Well, you're still on the journey, so like, you know, I can get you again, and you know, when retirement happens, like in 15 years, how about that?
Oh my gosh, like there's too many people. I'm so grateful for so many things.
No worries, that's a good problem to have, and it just shows that you're in a really good place, and you're aware of the things you've got around you, and you're grateful, which is an excellent attitude to have. And
thanks,
you know, stepping back to your response, I mean, we will make it through, it's going to be okay, you know we will, and seeking help is definitely a key, finding someone to go on the journey with you, someone to be the crutch when you need to. You know,
totally. I love that. I love that.
People. Yeah.
Yes. And as you were talking, I'm just thinking like, I'm so fortunate with the relationships that I've built. And so many of them are through volleyball. But now it's not just a relationship on the court, it's off the court and it's every day. And it's relationships for me are so important. I love what you just said. I'm just, thinking about all of my friends and my family, and I'm really, really thankful.
Well, I've got to ask you, because I hate calling it just content or material, because what you're doing on your site is, it's very touching and can really affect people's lives in a very positive way. So we'll call it an encouragement resource. But how can our listeners and viewers contact you or follow you on social?
Cool. Okay, well, I have an Instagram and I'm not super active on it, but I do check it. It's Carly Lloyd 3. And then my website is, that's where I feel the best right now. I'm on there doing stuff every day. So it's showupwithme.com. And then there's an email contact page on there. You can submit a form right there, or carly@showupwithme.com is the email. And yeah.
And then finally, I know this has been the big thing since we're all in quarantine mode, but are you available to meet with teams and coaches for speaking engagements online? If so, how can they reach out to you? Or what is
out to you? Yeah, I just did an awesome one this weekend, and I have another one lined up this afternoon that I'm excited about. Same way. I mean, my email, carly@showupwithme.com, is probably the best way. Just send me an email. I love it. It's been really great for me to connect with different players at different levels and talk about my experience, and also be able to answer questions that are directly related to the team that they're on and the experiences they're going through. So totally love them, and I'm open to it. It's great.
Just through the website, the online form, or DM you through Instagram is what I'm kind of getting from it, right?
Yeah, the DMs and Instagram are, it's harder for me. I do get to them, but if you send an email to carly@showupwithme.com or send a form on the website, those are the best ways right now.
That is excellent stuff, Carly, and I appreciate cool. you taking the time today to just talk about what you're doing and what life is for you. And I'm looking forward to seeing you down the line. I wish I could see you play indoor in the States again. Maybe it'll still happen. I don't know, but I guess I'll have to rely on the 2 a.m. in the morning feeds on some Russian gambling site.
Yeah, those are rough sometimes. My mom complains about that a lot. It's so hard to find matches sometimes overseas. But anyway, this has been great for me too. It's been nice catching up. Thanks for having me.
Oh, for sure. And I'm looking forward to the days that we can see each other in person and, hopefully do the personal contact thing. Yeah. But
yeah,
we still got a couple of weeks
we'll
out.
See before when that, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
All right. Well,
all right.
And Carly Lloyd, 2016 Rio Olympics bronze medalist and international volleyball sensation setter. One of my favorites to watch as Carly Lloyd. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you. Thanks.